Welcome to the Career Chat Room, where we focus on job searching and landing. I'm your host, Erin Sergi. Welcome back to the Career Chat Room. With me today is my guest, Brittany Onufrak, who is a former colleague, and we've kept in touch because we have a lot of common interests. And of course, those interests align around things that have to do with career navigation, which is why I've invited Brittany to join me here today on the Career Chat Room. So welcome, Brittany. I'm so happy to have you here. Before we jump in and get started, I'd love for you to just share a little bit about yourself with our guests so that they can get to know you a bit better before we jump into our topic today. Welcome.
Thank you, Erin, and I'm happy to be here. Yes, well, I have been in the health service industry for over 15 years. Prior to that, I was in theater arts, so I had to bridge that gap. So I have a lot of experience personally with the career navigation, particularly. I just recently received my MBA, which helps to further want me to delve into more of the business connections. And at my health service company, in addition to the client support work that I do on the client onboarding side, I have had this passion and yearning within me to help others create those connections within their career. Is I had to do it for myself for such a long time, bridging that gap between theater and now the business corporate arena. So I pride myself on wanting to be a voice for others, as so many have come to me through my professional development role on the side that I have played, really helping to reinforce customer centricity, not only from a business perspective, but from a personal perspective, as each of us all are customers, essentially, in each and everything that we do. So I have developed this role on the side as a professional development leader, where those individuals have come to me asking for help. There's a gap there. How can I get to this next level? So I unknowingly became this voice, and I want to help people, provide visibility for them. I want them to be able to be heard, valued, and appreciated to bridge that gap and find their next step. So I know through our personal connections, we've been able to reconnect, Erin, as this is a common subject and something that is very much needed. So today, I'm hoping through our conversation that together, we can raise this up to provide additional support and visibility to continue to help other people as best as we can.
Yeah. And how Brittany and I became acquainted was that intersection between her role as a customer centricity ambassador and leading the professional development workstream and my role as an HR professional, even in the years that have passed since we first became acquainted. There's even more, I think, need to get information out there to help support people in this journey, because it's harder and harder. Even though there's so much available and so many opportunities available, it's harder and harder to navigate both externally, which is where I focus a lot, but internally, which is where you have really put a lot of thought and get a lot of reach outs. The issue or the topic that we wanted to dig into today, Brittany, if you wouldn't mind just framing up that topic a bit for our listeners so that they get a sense of why we wanted to talk about it here on the chat room.
Absolutely, Erin. So everything has evolved over time, right? The way that we do things, the way that we work, especially with COVID, but now we're 4 years out roughly here. There are more opportunities. However, why is it that there are less chances taken on individuals, whether it's internal or external? So we want to figure out a way to break this mold, understand more, peel back those layers and see, although logistically speaking and statistically speaking, there should be more jobs for everyone. A lot of individuals are going unnoticed. They're going overlooked, sometimes even ghosted from their internal organizations. That's not something that we want to continue to be the norm? Why has this become the norm? And more deeply, this is something that is truly impacting individuals. The rejection rate is skyrocketing. So we want to determine how we can help these individuals focus on what is within their control, despite the current landscape of the job talent acquisition process. How can we help them determine what is in their control so that they can be successful and not delve into the depths of this rejection that can eventually catapult them to spiral into a very dark space and settle. And we do not want them settling.
Yeah.
We all deserve more.
And the rejection is something that whether you're early in your career and in college and just trying to get that first job and launch your career, or you're well on your path in your career and have had multiple jobs and are now trying to land that next level of responsibility or that next opportunity, the amount of applying and rejection can really test your mental fitness and test your resiliency. And for many people, this might be the first time that they're encountering this level of rejection. How do you really develop a mindset that can help you get past the rejection?
Absolutely. You know, that's something that I've struggled with and something that through helping others have strengthened my own skill set to do so. And I've done a lot of research on it. Naomi Eisenberger, she is a social psychologist, and her research is deep within the social connection and the social disconnection. And that's wherein lies rejection. And, you know, how we can rebuild that resiliency when we're being faced with rejection, because over time, it can break you to your core. So through my mentorship, my informal mentorship initiatives, through being a customer centricity ambassador and leading this professional development platform, I have devised several, I guess, tips and tricks that have worked for me that I share with my mentees today. And they're very simple, but yet, you know, it starts with that mindset. And I think you alluded to it, Erin, that mental toughness. And the science is there to state that over time, once the brain experiences those feelings of rejection over and over and over again, yes, it's terrible, but it is part of normality at this point, that it learns to adapt to it over time. And it becomes a familiar emotion, building that resiliency in the brain, essentially what we do call that mental toughness that you're referring to. And that is huge for these individuals to build. And sometimes, you know, it takes a long time. So, you know, journaling is a big piece of this. I know it may not be for everyone, but acknowledging it, understanding where your thoughts are going awry, and having a solid individual to connect with, or a group of individuals. So that social support. I know you are that to so many people, Erin. You had been that to me internally with your expertise. So I think it's so important for these individuals, to find their circle of social support. Where's their safe space that they can have these conversations, and outlining their thoughts through a channel, whether it's through, you know, journaling or just speaking out loud to someone to understand what's going on and how can I take some actionable steps to problem solve. And the third thing, after you're acknowledging and, you know, becoming aware of where you are so you can shift these thoughts and connecting with individuals in a safe space, sharing it. And that's where I have found the greatest success, because you know you're not alone. Other people are experiencing these same feelings of rejection. And that's why I had sprung to, LinkedIn, obviously a very widely known professional networking platform. And that's how you and I had, most recently continued to connect, because I was expressing thoughts and, resources upon this topic, trying to raise the volume for my mentees.
Yes.
And that's where it's at. We have to come together to raise the volume on this, provide support so we can problem solve together.
And so taking control. And so you just really outlined three tips that, or practices that, you
yes.
find are helpful in regaining that sense of control and shifting your mindset. So whether it's a conversation with yourself through journaling and just reflecting and getting a firm grasp of what you're experiencing, what you're feeling, perhaps even trying to shift your mindset around reframing how you come to the table and get that positive mindset shift, talking about it with others and connecting with others to share your experiences and feel not so alone. And then the third piece is amplifying.
Absolutely.
So these are kind of three practices that you're putting out there as ways to help others feel not so alone. What else would you share with the listeners around how to develop this resilience in the face of rejection?
So first of all, it's hard sometimes after so many rejections for you not to take it personal and to essentially let it define you. Being told no and receiving those rejection emails on countless occasions, oftentimes you let it break you. And oftentimes it's because we're taking it personally. We're taking it as a personal attack against us. And of course, we get defensive, as anyone should. It's just part of our human makeup that when someone is rejecting us, we take it personal. So I would say that that is another key and yet critical component to breaking through the rejection that exists out there in the career navigation space right now. We really have to work hard on not taking it so personally. And that's part of this mind shift. So taking out the emotion of it and seeing what we can do versus what we cannot do.
Right.
Yes.
And what we offer, right? So there's a potential, I think, for us to focus on the gaps, the things that we don't have, that maybe you create a narrative around, well, it's because I don't have this or I don't have that, that I'm not getting that opportunity. But I think that there's an opportunity for people to maybe take an inventory of the things that they do have and offer to any employer or opportunity, and reframe their thinking around the things that they do have, and not letting the things that might not be there hold you back.
Absolutely. You bring a great point about the feedback piece, and that is part of, our secondary listing here that I had shared early on. When you're connecting with those individuals that are close to you and part of that safe space, really being vulnerable to receiving that feedback, but also ensuring that the individuals that you're connecting with are essentially providing courageous feedback, because I think that is also another gap. Nobody wants to say something negative to somebody, but it's the way that you can reframe it to provide constructive yet courageous feedback. And that's where I had been able to grow, because I was able to find those individuals who were willing to be vulnerable and provide me with that courageous feedback. So it's not just, getting feedback, but is it courageous feedback? And that's how I like to phrase it, because I feel like there's not a lot of that out there. Nobody wants to tell somebody, oh, well, you were great, but We just found somebody else who had a greater skill set. More deeply, tell me a little more about additional skill sets that I should possess, and more specifically, help me to develop an action that I can take to obtain that certain skill set. So having deeper conversations, courageous conversations, I think is going to be another turning point to shifting that mindset as well. But positive affirmations are huge for me as well. So that is another big piece. I know, it can lend to the journaling piece that you can prompt those, but nothing really replaces looking in that mirror every morning and, saying three things of gratitude about yourself, or three positive things, that you're thankful for, that you possess. And I'll share with you, mine. I started with a three, but I share this with my mentees, and I say, I'm strong, I am positive, I am competent, and the last one that I've added is I am confident. And I say that each morning. And believe me, sometimes it's a struggle, Erin. It really is. But you have to fake it till you make it a little bit. And if you do not believe it, essentially, you need to keep repetition until you believe those things about yourself. And what are you doing to continue to strengthen those things about yourself? What are some problem-solving actions that you're taking so that you start to develop and believe your narrative? You're creating your story, not the ones that the rejection emails have created for you, not the ones that state that you lack this certain skill set, you don't have this credential or this number of years of experience. Let's turn the narrative around and share your story, not the one that they're displaying for you in
Or
these
that you're
emails,
filling in,
or that you're
or
filling in
that
the gaps,
you're
right?
filling in the gaps.
Right.
And I'm curious whether you have either done this yourself or shared this with your mentees, because I've tried to encourage some of my mentees to do something like this, which is when you have the opportunity to have a conversation with someone who is knowledgeable about the position that you've applied for or interviewed for and have not gotten moved forward in the process or been rejected. Have you tried to create the opportunity to get more specific feedback from those sources? Because I find that it's an opportunity that people are reluctant to take, right? You get that rejection email and you create this narrative that is somewhat personal, going back to the taking it personal, and might not want to or try to engage with that source to understand more about what it was that didn't fit with the role and get that more precise and specific narrative. It's hard, I think, to focus your energy in that direction. Have you had any experience with that or any experience that you've heard about from your mentees?
Absolutely. And it is a challenging space to be within. Sometimes, well, you got to choose your heart. You can sit in the rejection that you've received and create that narrative that I'm not enough because of this or that. Or you can put yourself out there. And I absolutely recommend it. It's something that I have done for years, even though it's still very challenging for me to do. I, hold my breath and get anxious, as we do in human nature when we do things that we really don't feel comfortable doing. But that's where you will grow. That's where you will evolve in this space, because it's important to have that connection with that hiring manager and or that recruiter to understand a little more about how they saw you through their lens. their perspective, because all we see is our perspective. And after, multiple rejections, like we've talked about, we start to create this persona and this narrative that isn't necessarily true. But then we start presenting ourselves in that manner, and we may not even realize it. And I was told that. It was a hard pill for me to swallow, that over time I became calloused and defensive. And I had no idea I was putting that out in the world that way. And I think it is so very helpful for everyone to take that opportunity to reach out to the hiring manager once you've been rejected or not chosen for a role, despite the recruiter sending the email, generic or not, although your skill sets are great, blah, 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 we've decided to go in another direction. I would schedule 15 minutes, if not 30, but, want to be mindful and respectful of their time. I would just do it. I would encourage my mentees to not even ask for the time. That sounds bold. You may get dismissed. But in the body of an email invite, grab some time. If it's 15 minutes, they're more than likely to accept. If you don't feel comfortable being that bold, at least discuss it in the email, but be brief. I've learned that. Brevity
and not is challenging.
Huge. Yeah,
right?
And
you're not challenging. You're not challenging the decision.
Exactly. Yep. But I think it's important to hear what they have to say. Now, on the flip side, you might receive that generic response. You still might receive generic responses that are not helpful. So I think it's important for you to also be your own advocate and develop questions that you can further peel back the layers in that conversation to ask them. To say, thank you for this feedback. What do you recommend is an action that I can take to improve upon?
Yeah.
Given I pursue this again, and you can narrow that down. I understand based on, me lacking business acumen or
whatever it is.
Whatever it is, right? Or my ability to deal with ambiguity. As a competency that is very significant to this role. What do you recommend that I do? I think that's important for the interviewee to prompt some of those questions and not just leave it all on the hiring manager or the recruiter. If you're having those follow-up conversations, you need to be your own advocate.
Yeah. And the questions are important and the framing of them, because they need to be put out there in a way that does not create a defensive response that is as it's intended to generate the feedback that you need to have the right narrative around why you weren't selected and how you can take action to, in the future, be a better candidate. And that's actually, I think, a question that I've heard a good way to frame it is, what can I do to make me a better candidate for a role like this in the future? And when we're talking about really getting these conversations with hiring managers, this is an opportunity that exists when you are navigating seeking a new role within your company. Most of the time, the posting website, the career website for internal visibility, includes information about who the hiring manager is. If you haven't met with them already, right? You have that information. But if you didn't even get an interview for that role, there's that information about who the hiring manager is, who the recruiter is, that allows you to have that sort of conversation. And you could frame it up, if you never even got the interview, you could frame it up as a exploratory conversation, a networking conversation, that you're interested in exploring a career path like this. So you want more information, an informational conversation, even if it's before before you actually even get to the interview phase. So there's a number of different ways I feel like you can come at this from an internal perspective. But it's also possible from an external perspective because of places like, you know, LinkedIn, which give us some visibility into who's recruiting for a particular position. And maybe even, you know, being able to do a little research into, okay, well, this job title that I've applied for, who within this company shows up on LinkedIn as having this sort of job title, and maybe making those sort of connections so that you can learn more and get that sort of feedback. I think that's really helpful for people to know that there are ways that they can take action and getting back to that, the theme we had from earlier in this conversation, get control, right? How can you take control of the situation so that it's not just happening to you? You actually can take action to get the feedback to help you understand what it is that you need to do to position yourself better in the future.
Absolutely. That's where it's at. You know, and it starts with that mindset first, and then, you know, building those competencies for you to be a professional problem solver and take that action, not taking it personal. I would agree. And I would like to add too, I feel like because there's been so much innovation and technological advancements with artificial intelligence, it can, I encourage my mentees, and I've used it myself, to leverage those resources, especially on LinkedIn, for instance. It will prompt you to even write that informational inquiry to hiring manager and or recruiter using AI. And yes, I encourage you and suggest you do tweak it a bit to personalize it. Yes, I
do. Anything that AI generates, you can't just take it as it is.
It's not foolproof, but it has simplified things, and it can help you to learn and position yourself better. And even though it may seem uncomfortable taking that leap to reach out to the job poster, you know, on LinkedIn and or post interview after you've received, you know, an unfavorable outcome, I think it's important to choose that hard. Do you want to sit and sulk in the rejection? That's hard too. But, you know, you can take a leap and feel uncomfortable, but learn a little more about yourself. Develop a connection. Now you have a connection with this hiring manager, you know, or this recruiter. Put your best foot forward. Although that's hard, that's going to be more plentiful for you. And every interaction counts. Absolutely. Every interaction counts, you know, via email these days, everything's electronic. So I think that's another point to drive home while you're taking control, to just have self-awareness about, you know, your interactions, because people remember that. Yeah. And sometimes,
and
if it's not favorable,
Right.
Exactly.
You come at it from a positive mindset, which you can get yourself in that positive mindset through those affirmations that you talked about earlier.
Right.
And come at those conversations from a place of, I want to understand more. Help me understand. Help me position myself better for the future. You might actually even create a connection with that hiring manager, even though you don't get to, you know, in this moment in time, get to work for them like you hoped. You've actually maybe created a connection with them that will create an interest and a desire to help you move forward that didn't exist before, that if you hadn't taken that step, might not have existed. You would just be that, you know, candidate that they didn't go forward with. But by taking that next step and getting that feedback from them and asking those questions in a positive mindset that is helping you to move forward, you might actually get yourself an advocate in that hiring manager for the future when there's another opportunity.
Absolutely. 100% agreed. I think it's always going to be the positive choice to take that step and build that connection.
Yeah. Well, I know that we could go on and on about this topic for the entire day.
I know.
But I feel like this has been really informative and brought a lot of just positive steps that people could take to reframe that rejection and build the resilience that they need to continue to move forward. And it's all within, it's within your control. And hopefully what we've done is brought that to the surface and given it a bit more voice. As you've said, that's part of your, really your intention and part of your passion is to bring voice to this. So thank you so much, Brittany, for joining me on the Career Chat Room. I appreciate you taking the time.
Of course, Erin. It's been an absolute pleasure, you know, to have this conversation and to reconnect with you. As I've shared through our interactions, you have helped be that safe space for me. So truly appreciate the opportunity to share with you today and to raise the volume on this to help others.
That's right. Raising the volume is what it's all about. Thank you so much for joining me on the Career Chat Room today, Brittany. And that's it for this episode. As always, I am your host, Erin Sergi. Thank you for tuning in.